My name is Lucy Mayer, and I've been speaking to Martin Fagan, who is National Secretary of the Community Heartbeat Trust Charity in Suffolk. The charity describes itself as one whose aim is to help and support communities in the correct provision of defibrillators, but in a sustainable, resilient and governance-led manner. We've probably all seen a public defibrillator within our local area, but questions were raised earlier this week after not one, but two disappeared from the centre of Worcester Park. The life-saving devices were discovered missing only after a person suffered a cardiac arrest and needed to use them. I've spoken to Martin about the importance of public defibrillators and asked him why they may end up going missing.
Martin Fagan, and I'm the National Secretary for the Community Heartbeat Trust Charity.
So for the listeners who aren't aware of what the charity does, can you please explain what it is that you do?
Yes, well, we're a resuscitation charity, so we're about trying to help communities save lives, basically, and that is through not only the provision of defibrillators into communities, but also training, education, support, even helping them to identify best locations.
How do you decide where you're going to put them?
It's a very interesting thing. There's a lot of debate within NHS England at the moment as to whether defibrillators are actually going to the right places. What we try to do as an organisation is we tend to work with the community, and we tend to plot out, we look at maps, we look at locations, high-risk areas, social mapping, so we can look at areas of deprivation, etc. And we try to advise those defibrillators going into places where they're going to be best served. However, throughout the country, the majority of defibrillators are being put into places where somebody wants to put them because they might be local to them, they may be a fundraiser, etc. So it's a mixture, really, as to where they go.
So there's no limit as to how many one borough could have, for example?
Oh, no. I mean, you can put in as many as you wish to. In very, very simple terms, the more defibrillators you have, then obviously the better it is. But then it also gets to a stage where you might have too many in a location and you've got them every 10 feet, which sort of defeats the object.
And how expensive is it to install a defibrillator?
It depends on whether you're putting it internally and externally. So internally, for a good quality defibrillator, you're looking around £1,000 mark, maybe a little less, maybe a little more. If you're putting it out onto the street, generally it has to go into some form of protected cabinet to protect it from the weather and so on. So you're adding about another £500 onto the cost. So you're looking £1,500 upwards.
And are you confident that the general public know how to use them correctly?
We can't do anything wrong with a defibrillator because if it's not needed, it won't do anything. They're very safe devices to use. We often say to people the only way you could ever injure anybody with a defibrillator is to hit them over the head with it. They will not work unless this person is in this condition called cardiac arrest, and cardiac arrest simply means heart stopped. So in somebody who is collapsed, who's not breathing properly, probably got a funny colour, the first thing you're going to do is phone 999 and speak to the ambulance service, and the ambulance service will triage the situation and decide whether a defibrillator is required. If it is, they will tell you where the nearest available one is and how to gain access to it. The defibrillators themselves won't do anything. If that person's on a cardiac arrest, it won't do anything at all.
Now, the situation that we've had in Worcester Park this week, this very distressing and I would say dangerous situation where it appears that not one but two defibrillators have gone missing from the defibrillator point. A patient who collapsed and had a cardiac arrest the other night actually needed a defibrillator.
Well, there's a couple of things. We don't really know the details of the incident because obviously that's confidential to the patient. But yes, there is one on the main road there, which has been put in. And as you know, it had been taken out and used, but never returned. We've obviously replaced it. That one's been taken and used, and that's not been returned either. So there's been a period of time when there's not been one in that particular location, but there are others nearby. So from where that incident occurred, there was another one 100 metres down the road at Waitrose, and there's another one a bit further down the road in Sainsbury's. So there were other ones around the place. But what would happen is that if somebody had collapsed, they would phone 999, they would triage the situation. If a defibrillator had been necessary for that situation, then the ambulance service would have known that the other ones, that particular one was out of action, but there were other ones nearby and they could have sent somebody to them.
Hypothetically speaking, why would someone take a defibrillator? Do you think that people are perhaps taking them home with them so they've got extra safety at home?
Theft and vandalism is not the issue. So theft and vandalism, we did some work last summer with joining with British Heart Foundation, and we looked at something like 40,000 defibrillator sites around the country between the two of us. And we both came out with almost identical results, which is the levels of theft and vandalism is about 0.5%. So 99.5% of defibrillators are perfectly safe on the street. Nobody bothers with them. They're there to do the job when required. And 0.5%, yes, they're subject to some form of theft and vandalism. The issues with them not being available is generally where they've been taken away for a repair, or they've been activated on another call, another medical call, and it's been taken to that location, and something, for some reason, it has not been returned. And there could be all sorts of host of reasons why it's not been returned. One could be that it's still with the ambulance service if they've taken it. It could be it's still with the patients or the patient's relatives. It could be that actually the police attendant, they picked up and might be in their car. There's all sorts of reasons. And if one does go missing, there is a process to go and investigate it. Every defibrillator has a code on the back and a QR code and address and a sticky. So they know where to return it. Or if they don't return it, in the ones that we provide, they can phone us and we will arrange a courier to go and pick it up from them and return it to its location. But the fact it's not there doesn't necessarily mean it's been stolen or people have pinched it to take home. It is probably most likely because it's been taken for use in an incident and for some reason has just not been returned. It's been sort of put on a shelf somewhere and forgotten. There was one actually near where I live a little while ago. We couldn't get to it for 3 weeks. We knew exactly where it was, but we couldn't get to it for 3 weeks because it'd been taken to somebody's house. A person had been taken to hospital and you could actually see the defibrillator through the window sat on their dining room table. But of course, there was nobody in the house.
That must be really frustrating for you.
Very. But what we do as a charity generally is that if one does go missing, we will put a lone device in a unit. Now, we don't do that in every case, because if it's subject to some form of investigation, it's better to let the investigation follow through rather than actually use a lone machine in there. But if it's in a situation where there's no other defibrillator within, say, 200-400 meters, then we would probably do that. In the case of the high street and the incident you're looking at, there are other defibrillators nearby.
What difference does having a defibrillator on the high street that is there for situations like this, what difference do you think it makes to people's outcomes, but also the pressure on the NHS?
Right. Well, you've got two questions there. One is outcomes and the other is NHS. So let's look at outcomes. Cardiac arrest is time dependent. When somebody's heart stops beating properly, the blood stops going around the body, which means that basically they're beginning to die, and they die by about 20% per minute. So you've got a 5 or 6 minute window to do something. And that something is, number one, recognize that person needs help. Number two, to actually call 999 and speak to the ambulance service. Take their advice. Okay. They will then tell you to start those chest compressions. Number three, chest compressions are really important because that keeps the person alive and creates time to do something else. And the something else is get a defibrillator to them as quickly as possible. So those stages are all called the chain of survival. It's a fairly well-known concept. But if you think about it, recognizing very quickly, phoning 999 very quickly, starting those chest compressions very quickly, and the ambulance service insists you actually start those chest compressions within 60 seconds of that phone call. That's how important it is. And they will tell you and teach you how to do it over the phone and then get a defibrillator. So you want that those defibrillators as close as possible to potential areas of cardiac arrest. So that's why you put them out on the street, on village halls, in shops, so a little sticky so people know they're in shops, where they're most likely to be used and can be accessed very quickly. What impact does it have on the NHS? Clearly, if you manage to save somebody's life or give them a chance to live when they get to hospital, then obviously it has a beneficial outcome. In terms of would it alter the total costs of running the NHS? No, but that's not what it's about. It's about trying to save people's lives actually out on the street and in their homes.
Martin, thank you so much.